Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Raheem Kassam joins us to talk scientism and Pfizer. Very important story. And then Jason Belich talks about the need for us to build a data machine going into the 2024 election. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support our program at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I'm really excited for this conversation. I read this article and I agreed with basically every single word, and it really animated me for a variety of reasons. The article is Republicans Need a Tech Manhattan Project to Win in 2024 and Beyond. And the author and the mind behind that is Jason Belich, and he joins us right now. Jason, welcome to the program. Explain your article to our audience and then also to our younger listeners. Remind them what the Manhattan Project was.
Thanks for having me on, Charlie. What we need and what we're missing is the Republicans have been coasting on laurels for decades, and our technology and the ground game behind the technology is almost 20 years behind the Democrats, and we by and large are totally unaware of it. Particularly the RNC, obviously, but the apparatus in itself of the Republican Party is unaware just how far behind we truly are. It's like we're trying to use Napoleonic tactics for modern mechanized warfare. And what we really need to do is we need to educate ourselves just exactly how far behind we really are and how we got there. The GOP used to have a really good ground game and a good data game, like everything from the 94 revolution all the way through the Bush years. Mm-hmm. We had the best technology, the best data, the best, for the time. The RNC data warehouse was second to none, and it simply doesn't have that anymore. And what happened was big tech happened. A $1 trillion industry sprung up, and they turned around and gave a $1 trillion gift to the Democrats, starting from 2008. And ever since then, they got the data, they got the technology, and they got a lot of the developers behind it. A good example right now is the Reach app, the famous app developed by AOC's campaign in 2018. Some developers from Google and other big tech outfits took a leave of absence, put that in quotes, and built this app for her campaign. Another part of the big problem is with this campaign, those coders who took that leave of absence, supposed absence, they received stipends from left-wing nonprofits. It wasn't them volunteering. They got paid. Mm-hmm. And some of those nonprofits received tax money. So launder that how you will. But it still means that Republican tech is stuck in 2004.
Right. So, but here's the issue that I want to work through with you, and I agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah.
The head of the RNC, Rana, and others, they are communicating the exact opposite. They're saying they've made unprecedented investments in data. They say they have GOP data trust. They say they have the most technologically advanced party, more than the Democrats. This is what they tell their donors. This is what they tell the RNC committee members. This is what they tell the public. Are they telling the truth?
No, they're just not. And they may actually believe that they're okay. Is there a part of the really big problem here is if you look at the GOP ecosystem in technology and across GOP-oriented companies in general, you see a lot of people who are politicos first. You get lots of history degrees and poli-sci degrees, but not a lot of comp-sci degrees or science degrees or math degrees. So what you have there is an inversion of skill where you have, you know, otherwise good people who know the politics and attempt to automate their systems to automate themselves with technology. But what you're not getting is you're not getting innovations from technology being brought into politics on the Republican side.
Yeah, that's an interesting point where you say that they're not telling the truth, but they might not be lying because they might actually think it's true. They're saying something that is objectively being able – that can be disproven, but they actually might have convinced themselves that they have this wonderful tech apparatus when you're saying, no, you don't. So just really – just maybe you can answer it, maybe not. When they say they spend tens of millions of dollars on data, what are they spending that money on?
Well – taking a step back from that, in the Republican side, all of our data is still stuck in the direct mail paradigm from the 1970s. So you buy lists and you mail them, and you just keep mailing, you just keep mailing, you just keep mailing, and the only data that you get back that validates the data validates itself is whether someone responds or whether someone donates. So you get this perverse situation where the incentive is to simply keep mailing, to simply keep communicating, and to do so with greater frequency and with more obtuse messages. The giant MAGA3X donate now emails that are brutal, they simply just don't know any better. And they're spending between 3 and 10 times as much for names, and this is just for donors, let alone voters, 3 to 10 times as much as value would dictate. So you spend a lot of money using this old paradigm, this 1970s era paradigm, to attempt to build the list, and you've overspent. One, you've overspent, but two, you don't have a lot of quality to the data, even if you get response. And we're in a modern age now where if you respond is not sufficient validation. You just can't do that anymore. The whole world has moved on. You have to be able to model the probability that you'll get the response you want based on what you learn about someone from their profile. And this is the power. This is how big tech got their power, is that they learned everything about you. They don't even have to know your name, but they learned everything about you, and they can predict your reaction to things.
I'm fired up about this because I have been on conference calls and in meetings, and the RNC says they do all of this. They say that they have all these wonderful Silicon Valley people, and they got platoons of data modelers, and that they have people that used to work at Salesforce.
Just look at the people in these companies. Go look up these companies. Look up their LinkedIn. Look up the employees, and you do some digging on the employees. They're all politicos first, who might do some data work, via the old paradigm. But what's missing, and what Democrats have successfully done, is entice the best minds from technology, math, and science, and bring them into politics.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we have to do critically is to dig through all the closets where there are people in tech who, like me, are technologists who've been doing it a long time, know the math, know the algebra, and can actually build things effectively and entice them into the GOP ecosystem. And we have to do so by enticing them with resources and protecting them from retaliation. There's a lot. I mean, we're 90% Democrat, and so many of us are in the closet in many ways. I mean, I live in San Francisco. I'm never going to get a job in Silicon Valley again just for being on this show.
2022 is history, but have you thought about what you'll do in 2023? How will you make it better than last year? That's why I have a challenge for you. Resolve to become a better educated American. So go to charlie4hillsdale.com. That is charlie4hillsdale.com. You could discover the beauty of the Bible in the Genesis story, study the writings of C.S. Lewis, or explore the true meaning of America in Constitution 101. There are many more to choose from, including the Winston Churchill course, the Federalist Papers course, the Western Civilization course. Go to charlie4hillsdale.com, that is charlie4hillsdale.com, and pick one of more than 30 free Hillsdale courses. I hope you'll accept my challenge. Pick whichever you like and resolve to be more educated American in 2023. Go to charlie4hillsdale.com, that is charlie4hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College is America's greatest college. And you could discover the beauty of the Bible, C.S. Lewis, dive deep into the tradition that built the West. Victor Davis Hanson has a citizenship course. Larry Arn has a Constitution 101 course and an Aristotle course. So I encourage you to check it out, charlie4hillsdale.com. That is charlie4hillsdale.com. If we were to build the tech infrastructure, does the personnel exist for us to be able to hire them to be able to work on a conservative cause?
They can be found. However, one thing that we know in the tech industry, especially as coders, and something that Elon Musk proved publicly, is that the vast majority of hired coders are superfluous. You don't really need them. A small team of between 30 and 40 people, led by a dozen different top coders, can build everything that we need to build. We don't need the massive resources that one might expect. And we're in a position that we're at the point where we have to start now, but it's extremely doable and it is available.
So the personnel can be found, they could be selected. So
yes.
What type of money would it take to do this? And what specifically needs to be done with the short runway we have before the 2024 election?
Well, what specifically needs to be done is we need to educate the donors on the concept of impact investing. The impact investing is the DEI ESG types basically invented this. What it means is they put a political mission in front of profit. And, you know, we're Republicans, we love profit, but the mission has to take priority for a little while until we build an ecosystem that can lift everyone up. So we have to educate everyone, and again, and the donors specifically, that we live in a reality now. We live in an era where $1 million towards data quality is worth $50 to $100 million in TV ads.
So that's really smart. And I love that term, impact investing. Where would you spend that million, though? Do you start a new company? Do you do it in an LLC? Do you give it to some PAC?
What I suggest is a two-pronged approach. One is to assemble a core team of top developers to build the tools necessary for local groups to be able to engage in data integration for their own local needs in comparison to the national needs. And then the other wing of that is a pool from the donor class to engage in this type of impact investing, to invest in companies, to give out grants to coders, or to even support open source projects that are germane and relevant.
That's really smart. Has anyone tried to do this?
It's my understanding that Reince Priebus in 2013, 2014 attempted a venture fund and an incubator. That seems to have gone nowhere. But this type of incubation from this two-pronged incubation is actually being done all across the tech industry. I mean, you have just all sorts of incubators out there.
Yeah, I mean,
for venture,
Palantir. But, I mean, yeah, Founders Fund or whatever, Futures Fund or whatever it's called.
Exactly, but there's also a lot of nonprofit money going into these developments as well, where they stipend some coders to build something, and they may or may not commercialize it. But
that is really playing Russian roulette with the IRS code. Obviously, they don't think they're ever going to be investigated. But let me ask you, though, how much money, let's say if you had a venture fund of $10 million, $20 million, $50 million, what would it take to move the dial?
The number that continually pops in my head, and I can't fully explain it because that's how my techie brain works, is somewhere around $30 million.
That's not a lot of money.
With 30 million, we can have 6 to 10 core teams and fund probably 10 to 30 related projects. And in terms of modern campaigning, that's not a lot of money.
No, you're talking about $1.2 billion that was spent by Republicans and $1.7 billion that was spent by Democrats. And so you're talking about $30 million that would have an exponent on it. If a conservative donor were to give money there, they shouldn't necessarily expect a return on investment anytime soon. Is that correct?
They should expect that the political mission has to take forefront. So yes, in that way, but the Democrats have been fairly successful at putting out this seed money in large measure and then reaping the handful of successful projects.
They do that through Arabella. Arabella Advisors is their big conduit. Jason, you're very smart. I want to have you back on. In fact, I want to talk to you offline and pick your brain. Thank you for your courage.
Absolutely.
I think you're going to land a job pretty soon. God bless you. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. If all home air purifiers are the same, why did the U.S. Department of Defense select EnviroCleanse to protect and purify the air on board our Navy ships? Because EnviroCleanse advanced mineral technology goes beyond ordinary HEPA filters that destroy airborne illness, causing cold and flu viruses, including COVID. EnviroCleanse is the new science in air purification. Now you could order one for your home. This is how to help stop colds and flu from taking your whole family down. This is how you destroy allergy-inflaming toxins and mold from the air your family breathes. In fact, the hospital-grade technology is so powerful that it promises far fewer colds and allergies and better sleep. Visit ekpure.com and use promo code CHARLIE for 10% off your EnviroCleanse home air purification unit. You'll also receive a free air quality monitor plus fast free shipping. That's $150 in savings. That's ekpure.com, promo code CHARLIE. ekpure.com, promo code CHARLIE. So check it out right now. Great company, ekpure.com, promo code CHARLIE. Joining us now is Raheem Kassam. Raheem, welcome back to the program. You did some investigative research on the Pfizer Project Veritas Forbes, kind of that triangle of treachery. Walk us through it.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Charlie, this weekend, I decided to look into this hit piece that came out about Project Veritas and its major, I think, from a news perspective, bombshell revelations about what's going on inside Pfizer. I said so on one of the couple of Twitter spaces that Project Veritas hosted in the last week. I'll say it again. This story, this hidden camera footage, is nothing short of a smoking gun. And I'll explain in due course for the haters and the losers, specifically why I believe so. But I couldn't help in digging around this issue, but find this article written on Forbes.com, a website with a not insignificant pull and amount of traffic. The title was headlined, "No, Project Veritas video doesn't prove Pfizer is mutating COVID-19. Who is Jordan Tristan Walker?" Now, you will know as well as I do that attempt to squeeze that many search terms into the headline is actually a search engine optimization play from this author and from Forbes. What they want to do is be the first result that comes up when you go to a search engine and search for, is the Project Veritas video real? Does Jordan Tristan Walker work at Pfizer? Mm-hmm. And they have made a clear assertion in their headline that there is no proof that Pfizer is mutating the virus. So I thought to myself, okay, well, who's written this article? How could they possibly have this level of insight if the theme of the article, as it is that, oh, we haven't had enough time to look into this. So it turns out the senior contributor to Forbes and author of this article was a chap called Bruce Y. Lee. Different Bruce Lee from the one that we're used to. But this person is also doing... What's that?
Far less heroic. Finish your thought.
Far less heroic, but also doing a serious amount of acrobatics in this article to get to his conclusion here. but nowhere near as impressive, believe me. So he starts with all these ad hominem attacks about Project Veritas and about Tucker Carlson, all of this stuff. But when you get to the meat of his argument, it struck me as really interesting. He says, quote, a Google search didn't really reveal any legitimate source that could verify the person's name and title. Similarly, a search on LinkedIn doesn't reveal such verifiable profiles either, just some accounts trying to spread his name. And then it goes on to say, of note, a search for Tristan without the H did return an Urban Dictionary entry described Tristan as a very hot and cute boy who always wants to disagree, who has the softest hair in the entire world. And then the conclusion to that paragraph is, so if you're looking for someone hot, disagreeable, and really soft-haired, there is that. Now, I understand that this author's trying to be humorous and you know, stress on the word trying here, but you start an article by trashing a news outlet, an investigative news outlet, its conclusions, and in defense of a major pharmaceutical company, and indeed lobby, quite frankly, and its things. And I just didn't think that that stacked up, frankly, to a hill of beans. So I started to look into Mr. Lee himself. Where did Mr. Lee work? Who sponsored Mr. Lee's work? And of course, most people in the audience will probably be quicker than me even to get to the rub of this. Mr. Lee's work has, throughout his scientific career, been, in fact, funded, as they say, by Pfizer. And it wasn't just once, it wasn't just twice, but over the course I went through, because we don't just Google and go on LinkedIn in my work, I went through a lot of his academic papers. I went through a lot of his grant proposals, and indeed the ones that were accepted and funded by Pfizer. And I ended up putting all of that up on the Substack in full, all of its glory for people to see. Because, Charlie, guess what Forbes didn't do? They didn't put anything on the article that said Bruce Y. Lee is funded by Pfizer. This person has a conflict of interest in writing off Project Veritas and its findings.
So Forbes is owned by a Hong Kong investment company, if I'm not mistaken, called Integrated Whale Media Investments, which I think is owned by Palico, which is a private equity company, which I'm going to go through some of their holdings in a second. I'm sure there's something pharmaceutical there. But this is very basic, right? So Forbes launches a salvo against James O'Keefe and Project Veritas without disclosing to the audience that the author is a paid shill for the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, that's right. It's as simple as that. I mean, in every, if you or I were to do that, and it was found that we were taking money from the people that we were defending, from a big corporate lobby that we were defending, without disclosing that publicly in some way, you know, we'd be absolutely, you know, eviscerated in the mainstream press. CNN would be running entire segments about how dishonest and not real journalism all of this was. And yet Forbes, under the guise of having this in its op-ed section, can get away with a headline that disputes what everybody can see with their lying eyes and their lying ears in that video that Veritas released. Now, let's go one further than that, because it is important to note Pfizer's response for all of this. And I just want to make it clear to the audience what Pfizer said in their response to all of this. They said, quote, with a naturally evolving virus, it is important to routinely assess the activity of an antiviral. Most of this work is conducted using computer simulations or mutations of the main protease A, non-infectious part of the virus. In a limited number of cases, when a full virus does not contain any known gain-of-function mutations, such virus may be engineered to enable the assessment of antiviral activity in cells, end quote. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems pretty clear-cut to me that in this statement, Pfizer is not distancing itself from what Jordan Tristan Walker alleged on his Grindr date that they were doing.
And it seems as if there is there's new documents that show on the internal Microsoft Teams profile, he's still an active employee at Pfizer. So this Forbes article writer tries to comically and sarcastically say, well, we can't tell based on LinkedIn. We just don't know. Never picking up the phone or doing actual journalism. But it turns out he actually still is an active director at Pfizer, a scientific and operational initiatives.
Yeah, that's right. And you could get, I mean, he, Bruce Lee, could have got to that easier than I could have by calling his buddies who have funded his work at Pfizer up and asking the question. But he probably did ask the question. He just didn't like the answer that he got. And Forbes itself, quite frankly, I mean, what I love about this, Charlie, is that this is one of their now most highly commented pieces on their website. It's got something like 400 comments under this article, and they're all negative. All of the responses to Bruce Lee's assertions, whether it's on his Twitter, on the Forbes Twitter account, or on their website, is now just calling them liars. Liars, liars, liars. We see you for who you are. The media in this country, in the Western world, has an approval rating amongst the public of about 9%. And it's things like this that have ended it up in that position.
It's, and I mean, I remember when Forbes was a very respectable outlet, and it really does go to show, I mean, Project Veritas deserves so much credit for what they're doing here, that there's hierarchies to where the media really deploys the attack dogs. And what I have learned in the last 2 years is that defending the pharmaceutical machine is actually more important than even defending the racial machine, the race machine. Do you agree with that, Raheem? Do you think that this is the, you could call it the third rail or the cardinal sin? You have to give everything you can to make sure the products of science, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, AstraZeneca. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, you have to understand, the audience must understand that this is not just the sugar daddy for a lot of these people. This is scientism daddy, right? The pharmaceutical industry is promising these people immortality, you know, not just cutting them fat checks and having them, you know, another example, you know, Mr. Lee works for CUNY, you know, in New York. And they received $17 million for their Cold Spring Harbor laboratory in New York. Part of that came from Pfizer. And last year, they decided to just coincidentally rename one of the rooms there, the Pfizer Foundation Room. And this guy has talked about the Cold Spring Harbor in his articles on Forbes, again, without disclosing it. For him, this isn't just about money. It isn't just about rooms. It's about the entire fate of human civilization.
What is scientism and how does it connect to the Pfizer AstraZeneca story?
Well, don't worry, because if they have their way, we'll have eternity.
Yeah, there you go.
To talk about these things. The idea is very simple, is that man and machine come together in some way, whether it is in, or, you know, on this planet or in the virtual world. And this is effectively what these people are aiming for. And companies like Pfizer, companies like, you know, the big tech giants who are developing all of their AI stuff right now, you hear about so much of it going on. And hilarious to me, by the way, that ChatGPT and these guys are actually supplanting journalists who just 5 years ago were telling Americans who are being put out of their manual labor jobs to learn to code. Well, the code is now supplanting these journalists.
Yep.
But the point is this, right? This isn't just a cash play for people like Dr. Bruce Lee who want to discredit Project Veritas and want to hype Pfizer. This is about where they think the fate of human civilization is going. And for them, it is anti-God, or rather turning man into God.
Yeah. And so Nietzsche said that every society has a central piety of which you're not allowed to make fun of. And obviously that's been the race thing. It's also free sex and the trans thing. But if you look at it, in the midst of all the chaos, forced vaccines actually ranked higher in the priority. For example, you were not able to, all the kind of clamoring from Kyrie Irving for saying, you can't tell a black man to do with your body. Sit down and shut up. Still, take the vaccine. Like, the race card didn't work, right? The trans people saying that, well, you know, we're getting monkeypox and I'm not sure if I want to get my third booster. Shut up, get your booster. It's the scientism outranked them. All the racial politics, it points towards that, because there is this, for the secular world, the non-religious world, there is a promise of, you want to say eternity or, you know, immortality, but it, I think it's more sinister than that. I think that is that the merging into something that is close to a godlike figure over man.
Yeah, what do you need to go to real heaven for? We'll create your heaven right here. And by the way, your heaven looks nothing like the heaven in the Bible. It looks everything like Dr. Fauci's idea of heaven, which, you know, I think we can probably, or should we all probably be able to agree upon right now. Seems like hell on earth, quite frankly. You know, it's interesting. There's a new television film on Netflix with Jonah Hill. And it's funny, one of the black characters turns to the white Jewish characters and says, "You guys made us take your vaccine." And it just, I chuckled at that. I was like, is there some level of self-awareness now in Hollywood? Are they trying to get something across here? And I know a lot of people didn't like that movie. I've seen some bad reviews of it. But I think there was something in it that spoke to some cynics, let's say, or critics of this mantra in Hollywood itself.
And you see how the media deploys every force. I mean, no coverage of this Pfizer story. And thankfully, Elon Musk allowed this video to go wild. It's 28 million views on Twitter right now. It's one of the most successful. It's the most successful video in Project Veritas history and one of the most successful in Twitter history. So, minute and a half remaining. How do we go about actually making a serious dent in the scientism regime?
Well, Dr. Bruce Lee in his Forbes article says, quote, "Real journalists are obviously quite busy because a lot of bleep is happening in the world. They tend to report on something only after there are enough facts to verify the story. Plus, just because you don't see the articles yet doesn't mean that journalists aren't researching it and looking further into what's going on before deciding whether it deserves coverage. A marriage doesn't happen overnight. Well, most marriages don't, at least. Similarly, legitimate news articles don't appear without the groundwork being done first." I mean, the absolute gall of people like this going out there and claiming to know what real journalism looks like. It looks like what we do every day at the National Pulse. It looks like what you guys are doing here. It looks like actually getting to the bottom of the facts fast, can happen overnight if you're willing to put in the work. And we need to be doing the very same on things like scientism too, because they're funding it so heavily. It's going to creep up on us unless we're not, you know, certain about how they're actually pushing this out, rolling this out. We're getting there. And thanks to the audience's support, you know, I like to publish my work on my Substack at RahimKassam.com. I think we are getting closer and closer to rumbling these people.
Comes from a German historicist view of the world that puts a preference on an unelected scientific elite. Interestingly, that's exactly what Dwight D. Eisenhower warned right after the military-industrial complex, said, "Be very wary of an unelected technocratic scientific elite." Fascinating. Raheem, we'll have you back on soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.